Welcome to the New Braunfels OPC Sermon Archive. New Braunfels OPC is a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and desires to proclaim the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ to New Braunfels and the surrounding communities. Today's sermon is preached by Pastor Carl Miller. Let's listen in.
Well, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. This is our final sermon, at least in this series, in the book of Ephesians. We find some wonderful words from the Apostle Paul here. Before we hear the reading and preaching of God's word, let's go before him together again in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, your word is glorious, it is true, it is a gift from you to us. In it you reveal yourself to us, even much about creation, much about our Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that he brings. Much about us, Lord, in relation to you as your people. And so we are thankful, Lord. We are thankful for this very word, and we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would work abundantly in our hearts, that the word would go deep, and that it would be strong and rooted, that we would be grounded in it, even this very morning as we consider these things. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. 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 Well, let's consider verses 21 through 24 of chapter 6. Hear now the very word of God, written for you and for me today. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, my beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Amen. Thus far the reading of his word. And may God add his blessing to the reading of it to us. Well, beloved in Christ, farewells can be very difficult. Saying goodbye is hard, even in a letter. But they can also be oh so meaningful. When it comes to writing letters, I think that many of us can agree that it would be hard for us to get out the pen and paper and to write one of those old-fashioned letters today. How do we even do that? Do we remember it? How do we open it? What do we say in the body of it? How do we end it? And even though we were taught in school, especially in older generations and at home, on how to do it, if we haven't already, we're losing that skill. Sure, we communicate over phone, over text, and social media, and messaging, but it's different, right? And yet Paul was a master letter writer. As we've worked through his letter to Ephesus, we've seen his skill. But far more importantly, we've seen as he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we've seen Paul's pastoral love and his care for the people as he desired that they would know Jesus Christ more and more, and grow in him even as we walk together today. And so as he concludes his letter, we will consider Paul's gracious and really grace-filled farewell this morning. Now before we do, he unpacked wonderful truths in this letter, didn't he? What has God pressed home in your heart and mind in this book? Maybe you see more clearly the salvation that Christ has accomplished for you, your union with Christ, and because of that, all of the spiritual blessings that are yours in Christ. Maybe you marvel more at God's choosing of his people and uniting us and bringing us together and building us up together on Christ as the church. Have Paul's words drawn you to consider the spiritual gifts that God has given you and how you can use them in this body? Do you see your calling more clearly, and are you more committed to walking worthy of it? And dealing with sin and temptation, are you armored up this morning? Are you ready to stand and to fight the good fight? There's so much meat in the body of this letter, isn't there? There's so many more things, so many more questions we could ask and see how we would answer them after going through this book together. Good things to chew on and to seek to faithfully keep in our minds and practice in our lives, for sure. But this letter has also shown us that Paul was a man of prayer. In fact, he opened the book in verse 116, or chapter 1, verse 16, thanking God for the Ephesian saints, did he not? And he ends the book pointing out the connection of prayer and the armor of God. Prayer and its importance and necessity in the Christian life as we are soldiers walking forward in this fight. We need to bring our own requests before God. We also need to persevere in praying for others, including ministers of the gospel. And one thing that I want to point out before we go on in this persevering prayer is that we would see that even that persevering prayer is not only the persevering in our own ability to pray, which that's definitely a piece of that, and we talked about that last week, that in the ups and downs that we go through in the Christian life day by day, sometimes we struggle with prayer. Sometimes we struggle with coming before the throne of grace as we ought and when we need to find truly that divine grace and help in time of need. But here too, keep in mind that persevering prayer is also present as you continue and continue and continue to go before the throne of grace, even for other people that you know and that you're praying for. We bring their needs. We bring them. We bring their requests before the throne of God on an ongoing basis. And so we see that Paul's desire for the prayers of the people is also connected to his gracious farewell. And so this morning, let's consider Paul's sending of Tychicus in verses 21 and 22, and his blessing of peace and love and faith in verse 23, along with the grace to the sincere that he concludes with in verse 24. But Paul says he will send Tychicus. Let's look at 21. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you. Now, Paul would send Tychicus, and he would send, he says, for two reasons. That one, Tychicus would inform them about Paul and his status, how he was doing, what was going on in his life. They knew that he was in chains in prison. But Tychicus had been a brother there who was along with him, ministering to him, very helpful to him, and now he was coming to give report to the people at Paul's sending. But secondly, that Tychicus would also comfort them. So we see those two things, and Paul desired that the people would know more about what was going on with him and how he was doing, and if you recall, he never really spoke to that in the body of the letter. In some of his other letters, he does. He'll interject, or he'll connect, or weave in with his message things that are true about his own situation in life and that of his colleagues. But he didn't hear. After his greeting, what did we find? He really dove right into doctrine and practice, doctrine and Christian living, and really the doctrine that was the undergirding, right, and that fed what we then needed to know and how we should live, the things that we should be doing, the things that we shouldn't be doing, right, for the glory of God and in manners that were pleasing to him. And so he dove into those things, and he didn't mention or weave himself into that content in his letter and what he wrote. However, having asked them to persevere in their prayers for him in the preceding context and just the verses before, as the people were praying for Paul, men like Tychicus and others, they could soon pray for him and for the others that were there with him from a more informed and detailed position. You know, it's always good to hear and to know the details of those whom we love, how they are doing, isn't it? Such knowledge not only helps inform and deepen our prayers, but such knowledge also answers questions. Questions that we may have had from pieces of information that we have heard or things that we've received or we're aware of but don't have the full knowledge of. And so we have questions, and now those questions are answered when these things happen. They can calm concerns and anxieties. They can give us peace and encouragement. And how thoughtful and kind Paul was to them in sending Tychicus for these reasons. But also, though he could have told him how he was doing right then and there as he wrote this letter, he did something even better in sending a brother to them to inform, but also to minister to them. He, as their shepherd, their beloved pastor, could not come. But there were other faithful shepherds that could go to the field and be with the sheep. And that's what Paul did. Tychicus was very willing and joyful to come and to do these things. Being able to talk to someone, even a messenger and a friend, is great when it can be done in person, right? It's great to receive a letter. It's very personal. It's great to have a phone conversation. But man, if we could go over to their house, or we could go grab coffee with them, or we could go to lunch with them, there are reasons why we do these things instead of doing everything over the phone and text, right? Everything by letter. No, in-person, interpersonal reaction and relationship is important. Paul would have loved to come with them and shared with them himself, but in Paul's mind, Tychicus was the right man. He was the next best thing, and it's good to have him come, even as these saints, and even as we ourselves, are in the midst of battle. Right? It's good to have the shepherd come alongside, to enter into the battlefield with us. He's always been in the battlefield as well, as a beloved of Christ, but here he's coming to care for, to inform, and to minister to saints. So who was Tychicus? Well, he isn't a man that we hear too often in Scripture, and so we may not be all that familiar with him. Paul mentions, though, two important things about him in this verse as he commends Tychicus to them. He is one, a beloved brother. The people needed to know that Tychicus was a sincere brother in Christ, and they needed to welcome him as such. He was a sincere brother. Paul's commendation. He knew him. Tychicus had spent time with him. And Paul was very glad to say, he's beloved. Welcome him, O people of God. He was also a faithful minister. He was a faithful minister in the work of Christ, a co-laborer in furthering the gospel. And he was very dear to Paul. He was very dear to Paul. And thirdly, an important thing to note is that he was the courier. He was the letter carrier that brought this very epistle to the Ephesian saints and brought all of this wonderful gold and truth in this letter from the very word of God to the people. Well, let's take a brief survey of Scripture and let's learn more about him even beyond what Paul says in this verse. If you look at Acts chapter 20, verses 1 through 5, That is our first encounter with Tychicus. And we find that Tychicus was a colleague and a traveler with Paul, who was from Asia. We read in verse 1, "After the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. And now when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia. These men going ahead waited for us at Troas." So Tychicus was no recent friend of Paul. He had been in ministry and in travels and in labors for him for a time. And Paul told Timothy also of his sending Tychicus to Ephesus in 2 Timothy 4:12. He told Titus that he was sending Artemis and Tychicus to him in Titus 3:12. And so we see these faithful ministers like Tychicus. We also know of Timothy, right, who was sent by Paul to Ephesus. Tychicus comes to labor, to be faithful in the Lord, to declare the word of God, to comfort the people. But he's been sent in multiple places, been sent where the Lord would have him to go through the Apostle Paul and his commissioning him to go to those places. But finally, we see that Tychicus was also a messenger from Paul to Colossae to provide a similar report and care as he did in Ephesus. And we see that in Colossians 4, verses 7 and 8. And so Tychicus was clearly well-loved and well-used by Paul in ministry and building up the churches of Jesus Christ. And Paul spoke to the comfort and the encouragement that he would bring to the Ephesian saints. In verse 22, notice what he says, "In whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts." Now, as we think about this, it's important to realize and to recognize that churches need reports about other churches, about ministers and missionaries and other locations in the field. We need the comfort and encouragement that the Holy Spirit gives as we hear such reports, especially regarding matters of perseverance and progress. We hear and we rejoice, right? We're comforted, we're encouraged about hearing good reports of the Lord's work in various places. And we hear frequent updates even here, personally, as we bring this home this morning. We hear updates and encouraging things from our mother church in South Austin quite frequently, don't we? If you look at our prayer list in the midweek email, that prayer list includes New Braunfels' prayer requests, but also South Austin's prayer requests. Every stated meeting of the Presbytery of the Southwest, before the meeting begins, we take time and each church will stand and give a report. We call it the two-minute report, which is sometimes extended to 3 minutes, depending on long-windedness. But they give a report and an update as to how they're doing and what's going on in the body. We've heard from Reverend Mark Sumter in the past in this very body, and Reverend Al Tricarico even more recently, as he brings progress and updates in home missions and home mission works around the U.S., as well as from Reverend Douglas Clausen regarding foreign missionaries around the world that are connected to the OP. So it's great to receive these reports and to see Christ's work even in other churches so that we can rejoice and even mourn when needed, because all things don't go well. but that we can rejoice, we can mourn, and we can pray. And pray from an informed place. And so Tychicus, he comforted the Ephesians' hearts in the midst of spiritual warfare. He comforted their hearts as they heard a true eyewitness report about Paul. No conjecture here. No possibilities that he really could be wrong or in error, because he was there with them. And he came giving an eyewitness report about Paul, even though Paul was in prison. And Tychicus made Paul's love to them then all the more visible. Paul's talked about his love and his concern for the saints all through this book. Really, that's been an interwoven and underlying theme through the whole thing. And yet here Tychicus makes it all the more present and visible to the people in his words and care. He made Christ's love, Christ's guidance and provision more real to them as well. So my friends, it's good to be comforted and encouraged by faithful ministers. It's good to be comforted and encouraged by God's people as they come, and they come alongside with news and support. For we truly, as ministers of the gospel, we desire to bring to you the comfort of Christ. Like Paul did to Corinth. Troubled hearts need the salve of Christ. They need the healing ointment of Christ that the gospel brings. People need to be ministered to by their shepherd. Pastoral care given in binding up wounds and caring for the brokenhearted and lifting up the discouraged and those with heavy hearts are all vitally important. We consider this in Paul's words to Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Remember there he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comforts, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." And notice that there, that God was of great comfort to the apostles, to their colleagues, and he gave them that comfort, and then they in turn gave that very same comfort to the people in their time of tribulation. For we need to remember, we don't think that the apostles had it so easy. They were great men of God, blessed by the Holy Spirit, sent and called by Christ for these specific purposes, in growing and building his church, even as he's the true builder. But as they planted, as they watered, the Lord did provide the increase, but the apostles did not have it on easy street. They were beaten, they were worn, they were persecuted. They had it in many ways much harder than we did, and yet see the sincerity and the faith and the perseverance and the love that they communicate here to the people, as the people needed to know that they were comforted by God, and that they in turn, through the apostles, God was comforting them with that very same comfort that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 5, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ." So Paul then begins to give a benediction in verse 23 of Ephesians 6. And notice what he says there. "Peace to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Beloved, Paul opened this letter with a salutation of grace and peace from God to the people. And here he closes the letter, pronouncing a benediction, pronouncing a blessing with even more and more grace and peace upon them. "Peace to the brethren," he says. Paul wants us to know and remember the riches of peace that we have with God in Jesus Christ and only because of Jesus Christ. And therefore, the peace that we have in our minds and consciences that guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, and the peace then that we have with one another that preserves our unity and our fellowship and our love for one another in the body, all of which are gifts from God. We didn't stir it up. He is pronouncing the peace of God to the brethren. For God isn't against us, but He is for us in wonderful ways. In every possible way, even beyond what we can think and imagine, God is for His people. God is for His children, His beloved sons and daughters in Christ. And He blesses His people with peace. And this was to be true and encouraging to all the brethren. And even as these letters were typically circular letters that began to be read in Ephesus, but were even distributed around churches in the region, it included the Ephesian saints, but also churches beyond. That message of peace. Peace in the midst of trouble. Peace in the midst of hardship. Peace in the midst of threats and persecution. Peace in the midst of trial and suffering. Peace in the midst of trying to stand against the onslaught of Satan and his wiles. Peace to the brethren. Thomas Watson said this: "If God be our God, He will give us peace in trouble. When there is a storm without, He makes peace within. The world can create trouble in peace, but God can create peace in trouble. And beloved, only He can. In all the ways that He does." But Paul also says that he desires and pronounces this love with faith. Here he pronounces the love of God upon us. We are reminded of the close connection here, though, with faith and love. Again, we see Paul's bookends here, as our thoughts should go back to chapter 1, verse 15, at the beginning of this letter, where he says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints." Faith with love. Remember Paul's words to Corinth in the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. "Though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And now, abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." So, my friends, Paul desires that these qualities would continue to be present and flourish in our lives. For this peace and love come to us from the Father and from the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of His finished work for us, He is the source. And this pronouncement of peace and love with faith should be evident then in our lives. Does your life reflect your blessing of peace that you have from God and with God? I ask you that. Or are you still stuck in your own desires that flow from them? Love and faith are inseparable, and they go with peace. But then Paul goes on to pronounce the grace of God to the sincere. Notice in verse 24. "Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen." As Paul just pronounced God's peace and love upon His people, he then pronounced God's favor upon those who therefore love God in sincerity and true faith. Paul has pressed home much about God's grace through this letter, hasn't he? Remember a couple of places. Chapter 1, verse 7, in him, meaning in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Don't walk away this morning forgetting about the riches of his grace that he has so wonderfully communicated and taught us about in this letter. Remember chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show what? The exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Notice that he might show the riches of his grace, the exceeding riches of his grace, in the kindness that he has extended to us and shown to us in Christ. God's kindness is evident in the giving of his Son. And his Son shows us the richness of his grace. The richness of his favor to you who believe. Oh, the love of God. The deep love of God. And his grace and his kindness. Consider what is shown to you by God in Christ. Indeed, grace is truly the unmerited favor of God, despite what we deserve. We deserve wrath, but he gives us his kingdom. We deserve death, but he gives us eternal life. We deserve hell and eternity in hell, but he gives us eternity in his marvelous presence and in communion with him. Oh, to be in communion with the living God for all eternity. Oh, how wonderful that is. And how marvelous that truly will be. So I encourage you to go back and to read and to reread this epistle time and again, and not only see the love of men like Paul and Tychicus and Timothy to the people, but most importantly, the love of God, the love and the peace and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ to you as his church. For he truly and gloriously is the one who saves, who unites, who strengthens, who builds up, who comforts, and who protects us as we walk. And as we walk, he gives us even more peace and love and his grace as gifts from him. As we've gone through this epistle, what has God taught you? What has God opened your understanding to more? What can you see more clearly now? Consider your walk with the Lord each and every day. Pursue godliness in all of the ways that Paul has taught us in this letter. And of course, in all of the ways that we're taught elsewhere in Scripture. But especially here, as it is so rich, and as it is so meaty, in understanding these things to be true, therefore this is what we must do. Keep and maintain the good things that must be present. And flee and get rid of the sin that is so easy to hang on to, and that so easily ensnares us, but does not bring glory to God. In fact, it is an offense against God. and leave knowing and cherishing even more the Lord Jesus as our only hope, who gives us hope, the hope of what we have now in Him, even that inheritance and the portion of it that we experience now, but also that which is yet to come in Him. And because we're united to Him, see, all of the spiritual blessings that He gives you and that He gives us as a body, and wholeheartedly rejoice and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For we deserve none of it, but you have given it to us in Him. You have pursued us. Why, O Lord? Your sovereign will desired. You chose us. And you have pursued us. You have saved us. And now you lavish blessings upon us. Oh, praise and glory be to the living and triune God. For He is truly the giver of all good things, all of which we don't deserve, but all of which we praise Him for and give Him glory for. And may we continue to do that, not only here as we worship Him, but even as we leave this place. May that be evidence in our lives as His people. May people know that we are different. May people know that we belong to Jesus because of what they see in us and coming out of us, because of His work and His blessing and His grace. Amen and amen. Praise God for His word. Let's pray together.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. To listen to more New Braunfels OPC sermons or to find more information about our church, please visit our website at www.nbopc.org.